and to come to church to worship you, Lord, according to the dictates of our own heart. How, Lord God, you've given us the ability to come here, given us strength and health, and all these things are very important because we know there's coming a day when we will not have them. So we pray at this hour we may appreciate them and increasingly appreciate what you have done for us and what you're allowing at this time. Now we pray, Lord, that you'll bless us in the measure of the word that you've granted us to have in this hour, that we may understand and know the things that are freely given to us of God, to rejoice in them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I always seem to have the misfortune of mislaying things, but I suppose I can find a little snack of paper here. I want to mention that next Sunday, of course, is the first Sunday in the week of the month of June, and that's foot washing communion either on the Saturday night or on the Sunday evening. Now, what I'll do, I'll just check and see if there's different ones coming in from the outside on Saturday. If so, we'll arrange a Saturday night service. I'll let you know on Wednesday, and also we'll make phone calls if necessary. And I would prefer to have the foot washing and communion on Saturday because it is more definitely a night hour than is on Sunday. It should be in the dark of the night when the service is really consummated, so it's good to be as scriptural as possible. Now, I want to also thank again Don and Lloyd for their giving us hospitality last Monday. We certainly did appreciate it. And we only had one accident, and that was his own fault. He jumped too high and landed too hard, and he's fine now. Just, if you can't land straight when you come down, Rich, you're not supposed to jump. Now, that's that's how it is, but I guess there was a hole in the ground, so it's all right. We forgive you. And also want to thank you for that zapper that Don put up in the yard for me, and even the neighbors came over to watch the barbecue, wondering what was going on. And I said, well, the people really appreciate my morbidity. They knew I would like that. And every time I heard a mosquito or thought it was a mosquito getting a little, you know, a little charred, I was exceedingly happy because I knew he wasn't going to raise a welt on me. We just don't get along. Now, they love me, but I don't love them. Right? So I guess it's nice to know someone loves you. You have to pay a price for it. Now, we've been studying along here, and concerning the Parousia, there's been, since 77 when I preached the original message that the Lord began putting it all together for me, I took another one very distinctly in line with it, again in 1980, but in 79 there was a whole series of messages preached on the Holy Spirit, which definitely has to do with His presence, and particularly in this hour when the bride becomes one with Him and with each other, which, as I brought to your attention, was the vertical into the horizontal, and by that we referred to every individual member of the body of Christ is born again by a definite, once-for-all baptism with the Holy Spirit that puts him irrevocably into the kingdom of God. Now, that Spirit in each one is identical. There isn't any difference at all between the Spirit in each person. It is one and the same. But what we have here is a problem that in each person is also his own spirit that gives him his own nature. And unless there is an individual and a concerted will of the people to allow that vertical spirit to come out into the horizontal, the rough thing is that what will come in the horizontal is the human spirit instead of that which comes truly from God. As Brother Branham said, if I have the spirit of Beethoven, I would do the works of Beethoven. In other words, you would be in the realm of the musical. And, of course, he was referring most specifically to his own ministry, which was identified in John 14, there would come a time when greater works would be done than would be done by Jesus himself, that is in the body, because there's many members to take the gospel and the promises of God than was just that one member, Jesus. He meant so far as to say that Jesus had more success in his ministry in Brother Branham than he had in his own life, which was true because Brother Branham went almost around the world 7 times and had such authenticated ministry that literally the authenticated ministry of Jesus would look minimal. You'll find where Paul the Apostle speaking concerning the fact that Jesus was on earth, that one ordained of God, crucified upon Calvary, risen from the dead. He said before Agrippa and Festus, he said, this was not done in a corner. Well, if it was not done in a corner, when you are looking at what took place in Palestine, then how can you say this Branham ministry was done in a corner, which rocked America and also Africa, also rocked Europe, and the churches went against him and said, forget it, you're out. So there will without a doubt be, if there was a mini-tribulation in the days of the rejection in the time of Jesus under Titus, when I believe 1 million people, I just read by Eric Sauer yesterday in a book where he mentioned 1 million were killed in Jerusalem under Titus, then later on 500,000 more were killed. If that is the case, not saying if it's the case in the sense of a probability, but using the word as a thought of since that is the case, then what will happen at this day with the crucifixion of the Word? It will be total annihilation, neither leaving neither root nor branch. And by annihilation, I mean a complete termination of civilization as per that type of existence. It will have been annihilated. There will be another one, of course, to take its place as they come up in the resurrection. So we were looking at this thought of the presence of the Lord, and we're going into many facets of it in order to give you a tremendous amount of information concerning it to the end that you will be thoroughly convinced so that you can appropriate whatever benefits are there by your faith that you have raised up in you through the Word concerning this presence of the Lord at this hour. And you will notice that as we go along, I'll be saying some things which are very basic to the thought, and then maybe later on coming back, repeating, adding more, and even changing things a little bit. And the reason I'm doing that is because I see that this presence which starts with the Holy Spirit in the church in this hour is the same presence spoken of at the resurrection, at the rapture, at the wedding supper, at the coming back. It's the same one, but of course you might say in different stages, different manifestations. And so therefore, when we speak of the word presence, there's no problem with the understanding of a presence. The misunderstanding will be the exact description of each event within it. So you might find little changes here and there. In fact, you will. And you say, well, Brother Vail, how do you account for it? Very simply, I'm putting every effort to get you to know what lies in the moment. And if there's a little misplacing of Scripture, that doesn't matter. For the simple reason, I am neither adding to Scripture nor taking from Scripture. I might be misplacing it slightly, but the Word will correct the error as time goes on, and you'll find all these words line up perfectly for the time of each event that transpires. For example, there's no way that you're going to have the resurrection event, which depends upon the same presence which is here, without the work of the presence being fully manifested and comprehended experientially with the bride. Then there'll come the resurrection. Then there will come the rapture. Then there will come the marriage supper, the wedding supper, and so on. And all of those have a description. Now, if perchance the descriptions
overlap a bit, or we find a little problem there, when we say, well, hey, really should have put this descriptive word over here, there is no problem, because it's all part of the subject. It's going to iron out very, very nicely before it's finished. Now, we've been talking of the Ephesians 1:15-23 is a series, and we're actually in number 5, though 6 messages have been preached, because number 4 was a recap of 1, 2, and 3. So we're going to look at this one. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, and by the way, I'm going to take my time so you won't get out too early. That means a cancellation this afternoon. I think even the neighbors have guessed that my wife and I aren't as young as we used to be. We get terribly tired. So I just can only do so much. So I'm going to do my best to slow down here and go back and forth and teach the best I can, and we'll just call it a day after the morning service. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. Now, you remember Brother Branham made comment on that spirit in Daniel 70th week. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's one thing. The church will only know by this spirit coming in and revealing. Then he says, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Now, in the 17th verse, where he bases his quote, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, herein is Paul acquainting us with what is proceeding out of the Holy Spirit at this time. For we have learned unequivocally that this is the Holy Spirit, that this in the church would be the Logos. Now, what is proceeding forth from this Spirit? One, wisdom. Two, a special revelation whereby he is making himself known. So what is the Spirit doing? The Spirit is projecting wisdom and a revelation of himself. And that is why the Holy Spirit at this time is entitled or known as wisdom and revelation, because they both lie in that category. Now, I think now that we had better be real specific here and know exactly what the Holy Spirit is to do. Now, you'd say, well, I know what he is to do. He is to bring forth wisdom and revelation. Now, that's very good. But we want to know it even more than that, and the way we want to know it is, first of all, by knowing what he is not doing. Because, you see, invariably people reading this grasp at a misunderstanding rather than a true understanding, because they don't really know what this is not all about. So, first of all, we're going to talk about 5 different things of what it is not about, so you'll understand more conclusively what it is all about. Now, number 1. He is not involved in winning the world over to righteousness with a soul-winning campaign or crusade. He is not. Contrarywise, the world goes after the Antichrist and ends up in unrighteousness. Now, if this was a soul-winning campaign and the Holy Spirit himself came here to do it, then anybody that tries to tell me this is not a misunderstanding and the concept to carry over from age number 6, where they ran around the world trying to win the world, I'd say they're insane. Because the Holy Spirit then would be accused of a monumental flaw. If there is a Holy Spirit apart from God, and God sent the Holy Spirit to win the world to Christ, at the same time God said the world's going to go to the Antichrist and to hell, then God's confused. Amen. I want to tell you, flat people are confused, the fundamentalists. I'm not against winning of souls. Souls will be one. Everyone that died in Adam is going to come back. The elect are going to be born again. But the Holy Spirit is not here in the midst of the church in order to win souls per se. That is not why He is here. You follow me? Because God has said, at this time, the world will go for the Antichrist. Well, how are you going to go for God the Antichrist unless the woman was right in the first place when she said God and the devil is the same person? Depends how you look at him. Took a woman to say that, I think. Well, the woman's the church, so what do you think? Say, no, it's not that. Number two, He is not only not the author of worldwide revival, but He is not offering a charismatic revival and thereby making us all one. Now, the charismatic movement is destined to make everybody one. Because they can all manifest the same thing. It doesn't matter what they preach. I can be an ardent Roman Catholic and make the Pope the vicar of God. And I can make him infallible. And I can bring up the fact of Pope Pius, who said that Mary has already ascended. See? Now, you and I know that the Roman Catholic theologians fought it. And they said, listen, don't you dare say that. Why, he said, I can say anything I want because I'm Jesus Christ on earth. And I say Mary's ascended, the assumption. That's a lie. The Pope John 23rd spoke in tongues, and Paul spoke in tongues, and no doubt this fellow will speak in tongues. And the Roman Catholic Church speaks in tongues and is charismatic. And the world is coming together. Jesus did not author that. You can say what you want. So He did not come to make us one. He came to separate us. Who is on the Lord's side? I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, step outside and I'll talk to him. Third, He is not putting a stop to sin, making the earth a better place to live in, for this age ends in fiery judgment. That's strange, but the very people that talk about a worldwide revival, talk about a great something or other, where all men are in love, and this and that and the other thing. How can it be when God denies it? So then the Holy Spirit cannot be coming to do that. Number four, He is not involved in character building, in fruit building, and getting nearer to God. No way, because at the end time, it says character's gone. I'll read the scripture later on in the Timothy in various places for you. It is not a time of fruit, because they hate Him. And men say there is fruit when they hate Almighty God. And there's not a getting nearer to God, there's a drifting from God. How can a man get near to God at the same time he's going for Antichrist? Amen. So all right. Number five, in short, He is not amongst us to manifest Himself in any way that the world even knows about, let alone recognizes. As Brother Branham said, it'll be so simple, it goes right over their heads. All right, now do you begin to see what's coming forth? It's none of those things. Unless you get a clear conception, you'll never pin down flat just what He's here for. So I was wild, He's here because here and this and that and chittity-chat. Look, the Word of God says it. Now adding to it is where you're in danger of getting in the great tribulation, and taking from it is where you're in danger of getting your name off the book of life. What does it categorically say? What is coming forth? Wisdom and knowledge. Now that's what it says is coming forth. Well, I don't like that. We'll revise it. Oh, the Spirit is so lovely, He'll win everybody to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, that Spirit's going to bring us closer to God and make us the wonder. Is that what it says? Who's adding now? Getting right ready for the tribulation. Hardest part of it. I'm not fooling. I'm not teasing you. I believe God's Word. You do what you want. I'm not your keeper. I'm a preacher and a teacher. I'm nobody's keeper. You look out for yourself. Once I preach and teach and my soul delivered, you do what you want. You don't have to come to church. Forget it. I'm leaning on flat because I'm a flat preacher. That's what he said here. Didn't say a lot of junk people try to tell me. He said this. I'm quoting the prophet too on all these things. Don't worry. Leaving him right in. What is coming forth? Wisdom and knowledge. Now you can't see these per se as other spiritual things might be seen in physical manifestation. Well, you can always tell when souls are being won. Men repenting. joying in the Lord Jesus Christ, living from sin. You can tell when fruit is growing. You can tell when people are getting healed. You can tell a lot of things, but you can't tell this. Yeah. Like I said years ago, I remember I was sitting in school one day and had my eyes closed so I could savor what was being said, and the teacher said, "Hey, are you asleep?" And I said, "No, I just had my eyes closed so I could better feel what's in the literature." I sat in the same classroom and I fooled the teachers with that intelligent look, and I was a million miles away. Yeah? This is something nobody can get but you. Amen. And nobody can really tell if you got it. Sorry about that. But I'm going to tell you, they are real and more valuable. That is wisdom and knowledge. Are real and more valuable than all else in the world, for they are exclusively a product of the mind, and I'm speaking of Christ, and the head, who is Christ, for the use of and perfection of the body, the bride. If there be a body predestinated to perfection. Now there is a body predestinated to perfection. Yeah. And if it comes from the head, it's got to be a perfection. Now somebody say, "But Lord, you should have done it this way. Lord, it would have been good if you'd have done this." He said, "No, it's this way." It's a wisdom and knowledge. It's from the head. As Brother Branham said, the last moving part of the body is the eye. Then comes the mind. This is the mind age, for the eye age has gone by, the ego prophet age, wherein somebody saw for us. And all it takes is one eye to see for the body. If the body has more than one eye, then the eye is not single, or the light in the body is not single. There's two opinions, there's two understandings at least. There's got to be one mind. The scripture speaks of one mind. There was one eye. The Elijah ministry, the restoration ministry, is not a group ministry. That's Pentecostal hogwash. My God, a dead Baptist would know better than that. Let alone a so-called living Pentecostal. Now, don't think, feel bad. I was formerly Pentecostal. I can gouge them up one side and down the other because that's my family tree. Now, don't you try. Okay? I was also a Presbyterian to begin with and went to the Baptist finally. Until I got to this. I'm satisfied here. The last moving part is the eye, then comes the mind. This is the mind age. The head is here, the mind is here, wisdom and knowledge are here. What else? The mind says to the foot, "Move." And the foot says, "Do it yourself, fat head." Does it? The mind has one resource, knowledge. The ability to direct. The ability to find and refine. See? Has all that. So wisdom and knowledge are here. But be careful, even though it is of the mind, remember it is the mind of God and therefore bypasses human mind. Now right away you see someone wants to cut in here. The church wants to cut in here and says, "Hey, we'll hold a conclave. We'll get to praying and fasting. Bless God, and Sister so-and-so, you'll get something. And Sister so-and-so, you'll get something. And Bishop so-and-so, you'll get something. And Father so-and-so, you'll get something. And Reverend so-and-so, sure, you'll all get a false revelation." Because it bypasses the human mind. That lets you know flat that this thing is going to come on its own, and when it does, ain't nobody going to be aware of it. That's rotten English, but who cares? Can't be a product of the human mind at all. No way. Something God's going to do. The head is here. Now, it tells you in verse 18, the eyes of your heart. Now, that's what it's all about. Now, that's faith. For faith is in the heart area, the soul area. Faith is revealed. Faith is a revelation. Now let's go back and see how this is in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians a little different than you ever looked at it before. That's what I like about Scripture. You start one place and you get some light. You keep going back, you get more light. And pretty soon it becomes finalized. That's the way the ages were. It started with number 5. It went to number 6, and under 7 is perfection. Conclusion. You've arrived. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, 3 to 16. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince's world that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the foundation of the world under our glory. In other words, under our edification, our knowledge, our use of it to get where we're going to be and share in what he said, which none of the princes world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither in the heart of man, the things which God created them love him. But God hath revealed them by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, the spirit of man is in him. Even so the things of God knows no man the spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but that which is of, the spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak. Now who's doing the speaking? Paul. Not the congregation, not the church. Not the assured body of light. Hogwash. Paul's doing the talking. That we might know the things that are feeding us of God. Which things also speak not words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God that are foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, we must look at this perhaps as we've never looked at it before, in the light to which it is truly written. In the first verse, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellent speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 12, 13. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spirit to discern. Now notice, in the 14th chapter of the same book, 1 Corinthians, in verse 36, it says what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. This is not a group revelation. This is not people getting the mind of Almighty God. Paul tells you how this book came into business, how this book came to pass, how that God spoke to him. It was God, one God speaking to one man, and he told the others what that one God wanted those people to know, and that one God, without that one man, those people would know nothing, because that's the will of God. And people say, well, Brother Vail, I can't agree, because God's God, and he'll do this for me. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. God will do his own way. Let every man's word be alive, and let God be true. Where do you get the idea you can tell God what to do? And the word of God says he never took counsel with you. And he's not a man that he can change his mind. Yet no doubt sitting here this morning, there's doubts among you. Every church has them. I'm trying to get rid of those doubts. There's no place for them, brother and sister. You got to come to the word of God and stay there. Now it tells you right here that you need someone to help you when it comes to your revelation. There's nobody that smart. There's nobody understands. I teach nothing of myself. If I can't find what he said, I'm not interested in teaching. There has got to be an eye that's single, or the body becomes full of darkness. Now let me make bold to say that what we have in this hour, that I have patterned on the Apostle Paul, who distinctly said, those words which we are teaching you are the words of wisdom which God Almighty set forth at this time and for all ages that you might know. Now, we're looking at the very same spirit of wisdom and revelation that was in the days of Paul reappearing and giving that same definitive revelation for this hour, which revelation was lost because the Holy Spirit was not there in that form to give them the truth consistently. It fell into men's hands, and men begin adding, and men begin taking. But at the end time, it's got to come back because that spirit is here to do it. Now, I make bold to say, based on what I have just told you, that this is the third pull that William Branham spoke of concerning the word given. This is that pull that he said the devil knows nothing of. And he said nobody can imitate it. And he said, I am not going to spill it, I am not going to tell it until that moment when it's too late. Now, for 7 solid days, he was in that room all alone, with the pillar of fire hanging there. 7 solid days, 7 mighty messengers, embodiment of the Holy Ghost, the 7 spirits before the throne, what you might call emphatically typing, the 7 church ages and messengers, Each one came down with a message. And each day, that man stood there silent in the presence of God, where angels could not approach unto except the Holy Ghost in the guise of an angel, where spirits could not approach unto, where men could not approach unto. And that night, he came to church and put on tape what was said. And when it was said, it was too late for the devil to get a hold of and change anything. That man tried to mess with this. It's too late. Remember, there will not be history, because right after this revelation comes the resurrection. So I make bold to say that was the third poll. See, is this also the silence in heaven come upon earth? Absolutely, because this was the silence in heaven. But it was broken on earth because earth needed it. Heaven didn't need it. And as far as I'm concerned, the heavens could still be silent. And angels don't need to know one thing about it, because they don't have one thing to do with my redemption. Unless they want to come in golden chariots and fiery chariots and carry me home, I won't allow that. But that's on. Look how it came. In 2 Thessalonians, it told us very, very completely in the first chapter, verse 7, and a part of the next verse with it, and you were troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed to him with his mighty angels in flaming fire. That's exactly how they came. Ministering spirits. Seven mighty messengers. In the guise of angels came down and brought the revelation. I want to turn to Psalm 46 for just a second here. Trusting that's a short psalm, I kind of think it is. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Now listen, that's what he says. When God's there, you don't need to worry. Though the waters roar and be troubled, the mountains shake, and the earth swell thereof, and shake with the swelling. They say, hey, that's a pretty picture. That just means, hey, let everything come tumbling down, and bless God, long as God's there, you feel he's there, you can rest. That's not what it says at all. It says he's there, and these things will happen. Here is the river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. Now that's not New Jerusalem down the road. There's nothing there to disturb her equanimity or anything whatsoever. This is talking about the bride down here. The heathen raged, the kingdom moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted, the Lord of hosts with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in sunder, burns the chariot fire. When? Now! That's not down the road. This is today. Be still and know that I am God. They got a goofy program on the every morning on the air. Supposed to be religious. Be still and know. Why did they quote the rest of it? Because they don't know God, and they don't want to know God except the God of their imagination, their stupidity.
Amen.
I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, our refuge. What God came down? Oh, you say that's the God of the Gentiles. Well, how many gods are there, for Pete's sake? You know, people can be downright stupid, and they just burn me up. Then you say, don't lose your cool. I never had any in the first place. God is our refuge and strength. He's here. Let the squeeze come down. It'll come down. You think Brother Brand said that bride might be hunted? Well, I don't think he just said might hunted down like wild dogs. You think maybe, well, hey, that's a cute expression. Well, how cute's it going to be when it happens? Will he be able to take it? Sure, if he's present. This is Romans chapter 8. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You can't talk about a resurrection. You can't talk about a change in verses round about it and not put the thing in focus and say, hallelujah, this is our God when these things happen. Well, he's here. Nobody knows he's here. Except tiny little Brian. He's here to reveal himself. Matthew 16. 15 to 18. And he said, but whom do you say that I, the Son of, that I, whom do you say I am? And Peter said unto him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now the question was, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he said, who am I as the Son of Man? Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now there you are. Matthew 11. It's got to be a revelation from the Father, right? Okay, he's got to be here then to give it. Matthew 11, 25 to 27, that time Jesus answered and said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid thee, I thank thee, because thou hast hid these things in the wise and prudent, and revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it's so it seemed good in thy sight. In other words, that was the glory of God, God's estimation. God's estimation was to take the honor and preeminence. He said, all right, he said, I'll hide it from all these smart guys, reveal it to the little fellas that don't have much of the ball, just like babes alongside these big mental giants. See, I'm going to do it. Now, John 6. That shows you who's going to be revealed to. People say, well, Brother Branham had a thing against education, like Funny did. What he had against education was these educated guesses coming in. Men say, oh, we'll figure this thing out. We'll tell you what it is. When it takes a divinely revealed revelation to an individual, we'll tell that to the church. But you show me what people are going to want it. And how I say nobody's going to want it. It's got any sense of organization or any sense of a unity with an organization or any sense of a oneness with that organization. They won't want it because God's going to take an old John the Baptist out there that comes cranking and mucking around. He looks like a ton of worms almost, and he acts the same way and cares less. And they say, well, if that's the best that God could pick, well, look at the fine boys we got here and the fine intellect. John can't even talk. Amen. God says babies. Babies in what? Babies in the world. Babies in the crud out here, the cosmos, the world system. He doesn't care for it. He's a baby. They could pick him apart any day of the week. But he comes stopping and he's got something from God. But I'll tell you one thing, the election on here. We'll talk about election. We're just getting warmed up. Steam hasn't begun to rise yet. Just wait a while. All right, John 45. I'm just kidding you. As is written in the prophet, they shall all be taught of God. It's not written in the prophet, they shall all be taught of God. All thy children shall be taught of God. Do you know why this is said here? It's because he's talking to children. Go back and get your context. Everybody is not taught of God. I beg your pardon. All the children are taught of God. It's a big difference. See? Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. All right, Isaiah. I'm going to go back to 54. 11 to 14. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, not covered, behold, I lay thy stones of fair colors and lay thy foundation of sapphires. And I'll make thy windows of agate, thy gates of carbuncles, all thy borders of pleasant stones of all thy children. There it is. He was talking to them. That's why he could leave out all thy children to be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. All right, who's going to get a revelation? He turned to those Pharisees and he said, there's no place in you for the word. Then how are they going to get it? Look, don't try to teach me electronics. You're wasting your time. I'm not only not interested, I couldn't do it if you taught me. Forget it. And you're going to teach somebody without that little cell down in there? Teach them the word of God? You're mistaken, brother, sister. You're mistaken. You better get your election all lined up. You'd be voting for Republican and you register Democrat. It's just the same with this. You'll vote for the devil every time when you say I'm a registered Christian. Ain't no way you'll be that unless that seed's down there. Now, here again we see the Alpha and Omega principle. Now we're talking about the fact of revelation. We're talking about the fact that God alone can give the revelation. We're talking about the fact that he gives it only to those that are unwise and imprudent in the sense that they're not out here in the world and they know something which is wonderful as to their mentality and their mental approach. No way, they're just simple ones that simply believe something that's told them by John the Baptist. Then he tells you that those are going to be the children of Zion. The ones that God brings forth through the prophets by the word. God never brought anybody forth all by himself any more than Adam did. He brought Eve here in order to reproduce Adam, but she fell by the wayside. God's always had to use, as it were, the church, the woman. And so therefore God and that one that has those who have been elected, they will keep bringing forth issue. The word of God going down and bringing forth. As Brother Branham said, God didn't choose the stars, the moon, the wind, the sun to preach the gospel. He chose man. So therefore that's where you get your union. God's bringing forth his children. All are going to be taught of God. See? Now here we are at the end time. The very end time when the world's going to get moved. Things are going to be really rough. You're going to see things go out of cater. The West Coast could go down before the bride's gone. Get that plant, Brother Branham intimated it very strongly. The West Coast will go down. I don't say it will as thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying it's there. All right, the earth's going to stagger. It's going to be moved. It's going to be revolving in a crippled way. But it says, God's there. Don't you worry. You've got one worry. Not what man will do to you. He'll only kill you. Right. Just worry about the devil sneaking into something. But he ain't going to do it because we're bride. Now, he could do it before, but you see, the bride's pregnant with the word. The mind has been closed up. The womb of the mind has been closed up. That's what this revelation comes to do. It's to close the mind. Now, back in the book of Hebrews, it says there'd be no more room for repentance. I've got to tell you something. There's no room in the bride either. It's all over. The wicked have put their ear to the door, and the religious have put their ear to the door, and they've run the all through there. They'll never hear it again. And I'm going to tell you, when the bride puts her ear to the door of God, and he runs his Holy Spirit all through there by the word, she'll never hear anybody else either. No, sir, she's got her mark. Here's the Alpha and Omega principle then again. The Logos that became flesh and tabernacled amongst men, now that Logos has the word as his flesh for the visibility of God and tabernacles amongst men to turn flesh into word and word into flesh, or we might say make manifest in the bride that word of promise for the hour, because that's what it's all about. What has God come to do? What did he come to do in the beginning? To start the bride. What's he come at the end? To finish the bride. Well, that's a finisher-upper. Now, if God started, God's got to finish it. If God did it one way, he's got to do it the same way. Now, people don't want to believe that. It's right in the Bible. It tells you God and his ways never and ever change. As the prophet said it so beautifully, if God had a better way than the blood at the beginning, then he should not have used the blood. Because, you see, God's got to have the right way at the beginning, or God's not God because he's infinite. And people don't want to believe that God is infinite. They got three gods lined up, and they say, oh, the Father made a boo-boo when he brought Adam in and turned the devil loose. And I say, well, look at, isn't that stupid? I often illustrate by the fellow, he had a boca stricture, and he threw his cat in there, and he went in the morning, and the cat was gone. The boca stricture had a big spot in his stomach, and he said, oh, poor little putty cat. Boca stricture doesn't got you. Now, that idiot knew that boca stricture get that cat. You think for 1 minute God didn't know what was going to happen in the Garden of Eden? Come on, don't be naive. Don't be stupid, is the word.
Amen.
God knew. He even challenged Adam. He said, you're going to leave me for her. He said, for this cause a man leaves father and mother. I'm your father and mother. You're going to leave her for me. And Adam said, oh, no way, no way, no way. But he did.
Amen.
Test was too much. I can tell you about the free moral agency that God's got. Nothing to do it. I can hire all you guys here to lift 200 pounds of cement off my truck if I had one and had the cement. You'd work all day long. Some of you couldn't even lift it. I'd say, well, sorry, you just lost your job. You fired yourself. I didn't fire you. You couldn't lift my cement. You disqualified. God didn't make Adam sin. He just disqualified himself. Simple as ABC. Yeah. The beginning of the first. What God did at the beginning, he does at the end. Why? Because he can't change. No way. He's amazing. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. All right, now we understand we're looking about. We see this presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the Logos in the midst of the church. We see what he's come here for, to take on the mind of the church, to head up the church, to be the brains of the church, to be the wisdom, to be the revelation. We know how he does it. We're knowing to a degree why he does it. Now, we're going to study the words involved. Number one, wisdom. Number two, revelation. Number three, knowledge of him. For it is no longer knowledge, but personal knowledge of him. Don't ever think for one moment this is wisdom and knowledge, because it's not. It's wisdom and the knowledge of him. And that's a big difference. Anybody can have knowledge. But do you have knowledge of the atom? Forget it. I'm not a scientist. I can't even stand the thought of chemistry. Take it to somebody else. I can get out a cookbook. Don't make awful good waffles, I think. Get up here and preach a sermon. Mow the lawn, if I'm lucky. Don't do those other things. Don't ask me. I don't have any knowledge of it. I've got knowledge of a lot of other things. Not of that. See, now this is a personal knowledge of him. All right, number one, wisdom. Wisdom is cleverness, skill, the right application of knowledge. Wisdom is regarded as residing in the mind. It is a product of the mind. Now, concerning wisdom, there is not one of us who would not, first of all, unhesitatingly turn to 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, because we know a nice little verse in there about it. And it says, But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, we would read that one first of all. In fact, there isn't anybody who wouldn't turn there and take that verse and say, hey, I got it, that's what it is, but that's not what it is. Taking that verse by itself, we could say this means only the spirit of wisdom is the spirit of Christ and pass on. And we've been doing that for years. But it's time to take a closer look. And for starters, we better get the context So we're going to read 26 to 31. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. In other words, he's telling you here, we have become literally the out-manifestation of the wisdom of God. See? Through him, there's no wisdom that's real outside of him. But people are trying to put this off into some ethereal category. It won't work. It is an outworking. What he's talking about in righteous sanctification, according to his written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, it categorically states that no education, no seminarian, no educated person, no seminary, no wise person, no prudent person, but only babes will get it from God. No one gets this anyway except by a direct revelation, or they will glory in his presence and then despise God, because if you can come up with something that God himself came up with, and you come up with it on your own, you don't need God. You say, how am I going to find out? I don't want to be there when you do. It's called judgment. The white throne. You know the 70 Pharisees that were called the Sanhedrin, they said, you know, we are so smart and so clever that when God gets in a bind, he cannot solve things, he calls on us. That's what they said. I have a terrible sense of humor. There's some people I'm thinking of right now that I'm sure they feel that in their heart, that God has to call on them. I'm not one of them. My horrible sense of irony and humor would disqualify me immediately. Though God is ironic and has the same sense of humor, he didn't let his go to pop right at mine go. That's right. If you could come up with something on your own, you know, you'd dispose of the whole plan of Almighty God and put yourself up as a wise one. There's nobody going to glory in his presence. Nobody. You know what? Even at this point, nobody can really see through the plan of God. I don't care how shrewd William Branham was, and he was a prophet of God. I'll challenge any prophet living, as far as I'm concerned, at the White Throne or any place else. They'll never come up with what Jesus had. There's no way. There's no way to have what the Logos had. He can do his best, and he can tell you and me, and we can get enough to put us through. But to ever run in conflict or competition with, brother, forget it. It tells you right here, all you need is an open heart, a mind fertile with the Spirit. And God will build you up like an edifice or a field that's luxurious with the prime growth of the Spirit of Almighty God in Revelation. But on yourself, you're going to get nothing. He said to those people, he said, you can't get this word because there's nothing in there. Then God must have made, seen some people born with something in there. He had a natural election as well as a spiritual. He had to have. You see? No way will you ever rise up against God. Now remember, what glory is today? That word glory. Now we know that glory can mean an outshining, a monumental presentation of power, something to stand back in awe of. That's wonderful, but that's not the root of it, see? The root of it is what we've already said it is. Primarily, the word doxa in the Greek signifies an opinion, estimate, and hence the honor or status resulting from a good opinion. Now, the thing within itself must have reality for the opinion to come forth, which says, that's honorable, that's tremendous, that's wonderful, that's magnificent. Nothing can touch it. That'd be something to compare it. Now, the point is, now who can stand back and say, that's got real glory, that's got real status, that's got real honor? See? Result in a good opinion. Everything God is, he declares to us. He does and brings it to pass. To receive God's own understanding or revelation of what that word is doing and will do will bring forth that same determination of God in the individual. Now, you listen carefully what I'm saying here. We talked of what glory really is. It's the honor, it's the status that is deserved. Nobody can have a good opinion unless he's qualified to make an opinion. Bantam means to Haley, Why do you think this thing is short-circuiting? Now, I can snow you a little bit, and I can say, well, I think it's being grounded up. I think maybe that maybe water got in there. I'm just thinking like a stupid jerk. I don't know the first thing about it. My opinion is not worth a plug nickels. So anything I could tell you, if you were an electrician, anything I could try to conceive about you as an electrician, except that I saw that it works nicely when you do it, is hogwash. You could snow me 15 ways on whether you got that thing in there right or not. You see, we're talking about glory now. We're talking about, when you talk about that which is speaking of the things concerning God, there is nobody but God qualified to give an opinion. And whatever that opinion is what you and I see and praise God for and say, that is it. That's the ultimate. That's the glory. That's what we're talking about. Because you and I can't do it. We look around. let's make this very clear. If Jesus Christ was God, manifest in flesh, and he was the biggest flop the world's ever seen. What did he actually do compared to what he could have done? He was a Rockefeller giving away dimes instead of millions. He was a Joe Blow talking platitudes and the Sermon on the Mount when he could have created worlds. Man doesn't think like God. Man doesn't know what God is. He got to stand back and try to find a way that God will tell him somehow what he is and what is really right. Now, this is what I'm talking about this morning has come into the church. For the first time in 2,000 years, the Logos has appeared and has talked to a prophet who word by word delivered the messages that he was to give for this hour to show forth the wisdom and revelation of God. Now, we haven't took all about wisdom yet. We're just talking about how it's coming in. We're talking about God is doing it. This God of glory is doing it, see? Now, listen again then. To receive God's own understanding or revelation of what that word is doing and will do will bring forth that same determination of God in the individual. In other words, I'm saying God will tell you what he's determined to do. The promise of the hour reveals it, and that will be done in the hearer. That's going to be done. There's no way about it. When he declares himself the spirit of wisdom, he is going to deal with us in wisdom. When he declares himself in revelation, he will give us the revelation. When he stands here and says, then the dead will be raised, we are going to be raised. Understand what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with an hypothesis now. We're dealing with the unveiling of a reality. It's no longer hypothetical and potential. It is now. All these years has been veiled. The seals have obscured it. Men have guessed at it. They poked at it. But you see, they didn't know. You ever heard that Art Linkletter was great with this one? He made a sound on the radio, and you were to guess what that sound was? I wonder how many people realize that maybe the sound was one time somebody taking a single hair and pulling a finger over it and was magnified 1,000 times. He had the craziest ones. I used to love to guess, and my guessing was lousy. Never hit one. That's what they did with the word. They guessed for years. They looked at manifestation. They looked at what they thought was the best thing. They got the finest brain, but that's not it. They understand what we're talking about? All right. Now, whatever God says will come. Now, change from glory to glory. That is the estimation or what God has declared proceeding from this. Now look, you couldn't have it in age number one. You couldn't have it in age number two. Three, four, five, it started to come back. See? And the life that was in the church as it came up was supposed to bring a resurrection. But it couldn't until age number seven. So therefore, the wisdom in revelation is heading toward the resurrection. And that's from glory to glory. What God has declared and given the revelation. See that this is that hour. And we've been going from it, and at this stage, we are in the shout, which is the revelation of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, God identifying Himself, and that is the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and He is going to raise the dead because God raises the dead. Paul said, "Thinkest thou a strange thing, O King Agrippa, that God should raise the dead?" He said, "I know that you know these matters." And Festus got excited. He said, "Paul," he said, "you're mad. Much learning," he says, "made you mad. You're crazy." And he said, "I'm not crazy." He said, "This thing wasn't done in the corner." We can preach what happened in our day, and people go around, they say, "Well, never heard of William Brandt." Well, how about you going back to the jungles asking if anybody heard of Jesus Christ? The thing was not done in a corner. Our newspaper blazed it. But the same newspapers killed it. You know why Billy Graham's well known? Randolph Hearst heard him in California. And he sent out one line to all, it was just three words, to every paper. Puff Billy Graham means build him up. From that time he's on fire. But everybody took it in their desire to destroy a prophet of God and what he did. Even the story of that little boy in the Reader's Digest was a lie. They didn't tell the whole truth. You can't get anybody to tell the truth about God unless he's born again. And even then he won't know unless he's been told by the instrument that God ordains. All right, change from glory to glory, which is what we have, until it is what God himself has revealed, what he has determined for the beholder. What has he determined for the beholder? An image like unto his own, which in this hour means the resurrection. And it is his spirit in the bride members doing it, or doing what is to be done, according to God's own foreknowledge, which is his own word that he gave. Now listen, this spirit cannot do anything in the bride, or for the bride, unless it is according to God's foreknowledge. The spirit cannot speak outside of the realm of foreknowledge. That's why Jesus said when he has come, he'll take the things of me and show it unto you. He'll show you things to come. He's got a job to do. There's something specific, and it's got to line up, or that's not the Spirit of God. Now listen, if this is what the Spirit of God is to do, then you show me the Spirit of God out here in the charismatics where you can kiss the Pope's toe and he talks in tongues and performs miracles. And though the Episcopalian or the Lutheran says the same thing, don't tell me the Catholic priests are the only ones that take confession. Your High Anglican Church takes confession, and your Lutherans take confession, and pretty soon all the Protestants will take confession, and they'll sit there right there as God. They'll say, "Are we not God? We are manifesting so wonderfully." And the Antichrist will be a wonderful hail fellow amen. Amen. Only I don't want to meet him. You like that kind? That I'm sure you don't. All right. Remember, every age, especially from five on, has been the glory revealed. In other words, the Word, until it is all in all at this hour. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2:1-8 again. We're at that chapter. As I see, we're going to drift along here and take our time. I'm not worried about time. If you get too hungry, something, well, it's all right for you to go. That's all right by me, too. I'm getting hungry, I'll go. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellent speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said, I wasn't a highfalutin orator and with all kinds of wonderful talk. "I determined not to do anything among you save Jesus Christ and crucified. And I was with you in fear and trembling, and weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but demonstration of spirit and power. That your faith should not stand the wisdom of men, but the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," that means fully grown, "yet not the wisdom of this world and the prince of this world that come to nothing." You know, you can sit down and you say, "This is how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. We got the rapture figured out. We got this." Listen, I preach up here as though I got it figured out, based on the prophet. What if I don't have it figured out? What if the prophet didn't have it figured out? Pat! Nobody goes anywhere. So you see how stupid it is to attempt to know something outside of the specifics of God. And oh, thank God for this hour, he said, "I send Elijah. I do something unmistakable." People don't want it. They want to make it on their own. They're still like those little kids. You know, a little kid tries to learn to walk. He pushes you aside. "Oh, I can do daddy. I can do daddy." Ha! Goes the kid. Bust his skull. You think that trains him? Zap, he's out again. Busting his skull. Kids are independent as hogs on ice. because they came from hogs on ice. That's the trouble. Only a sheep will listen. Goats don't listen, pigs don't listen, nobody listens. Takes a real sheep to listen. Nobody else can. As I was with you that way, look. No, he said here, the prince has come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God, the mystery and the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world began. Does that mean it's not known? Absolutely not. It wasn't known back there, it's known now. It was known in the days of Paul. It was something that they guessed at. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. They knew it was there. They knew it was there. But they didn't want to recognize it. They put it back. And when will the Gentiles come in? Well, maybe 50 million years from now. They could spin arm and hate. The Jews still love us there. Can't blame. Roll with the punches. Can't we ask for it. We made them what they are. Let's face it. There's some good ones, though. I tell you, I know this about Jews. The conservative Jew is a man. He's a real man. The Wall Street, that's a different story. But I agree with Brother Brand. That fellow on Wall Street, I wouldn't worry about. But you got some wonderful, wonderful Jews that they're real men of God. And they're going to make it. Don't think they won't. They will be there. Was none of the princes of this world knew had they known they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know what? Two things. They wouldn't have been left, and they wouldn't have been done wrong. Do you realize I'm telling you? If you don't believe at this hour, you don't get right with God the way the Scripture says, you're going to get left. And you're going to have to answer because you're going to do wrong. It's not going to be any fun to be in the tribulation. Brother Brand said, you know that oath that's supposed to have been written by the Roman Catholics, you know, if you betray them or something, they'll cut your stomach and fill you full of sulfuric acid. No, I forget what it all says. I'm not much worried about it. Because they're going to do it, they're going to do it anyway. You know what I mean? Just better get ready for it. Brother Brand said, I would sooner have that than 1 hour of the tribulation, something along that line. I don't know what it means, but I know this one thing, that people had better be ready. And as I said the other day, it's time to warn your kids and say, look, if you're not saved, even then it doesn't guarantee you're going to make a right bride. You better look deeper. But the thing is this, even the foolish virgin will die. But she is better dead in faith than it comes to the lake of fire. Because if the tribulation is bad, what will the lake of fire be? These are things to think about. They must be thought about. Because it's part of the end time understanding what's going to happen. Now listen. Paul said in verse 1, brethren, I came not to you with excellent speech and wisdom, declaring testimony of God. I did not come to you with the best my brain could produce. He said, I was trained by Gamaliel, but what I learned in human ways, I count but dung, it is nothing. I did not use human wisdom to declare the testimony of God, and testimony means a declaration which confirms or makes anything known. He said, I never came to you and talked about a God I didn't know. I came to you and talked about a God that I didn't know face to face. And he's the one when I said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I'm Jesus. He said, I took it from that point for 3 years in Arabia. I heard from God and talked with God conversationally. And I'm going to tell you about it. Number 2 verse. The revelation of the hour was Messiah dying for sins according to Scripture. He said, I determined not among you save Christ and crucified. That won't work today, brother, sister. It's Christ risen and standing here to raise the dead. I'm sorry, but that's the revelation. Don't go back. Don't go back. You know why? He's all but off the mercy seat. He is off that. He's on the throne. But he's still a priest. He's Melchizedek. Sure, he's after the order of Melchizedek. Definitely. Sitting on the throne. Where he says in that last church age, I'm going to let you sit on my throne if you overcome like I did, like I'm sitting with my father. I could say something here, which I don't know how we're going to take it, but you know, he could be sitting with the father. If I say the father's here, because the Father could send the Logos. Now we're splitting it. Don't ask me. Mystery of Godhead? It's there. We'll get to it, though. Don't worry. I got faith. I don't believe I got presumption. I think I got faith. This day he is present to raise the dead, but he proves that he is alive from the dead. But he's here to raise the dead. Yesterday he wasn't. No, when he first came, he was not there to raise the dead. No way. He was there to declare he was risen from the dead and bring a church to God. Today the church is in, I believe. And he's risen from the dead and he's here to bring the church into its resurrection. Now, I was with you in fear and trembling and so on. Verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, the demonstration of spirit and the power. I did not entice you to use your own mental skill, but prove the word of God in the hour by the power of God. What did Paul have in his grasp? I don't know. I don't know. I really cannot tell you how Paul proved the word, but I do know this. He was proven to be that one, the same as William Branham at the end time was proven to be this one. There's no way that you could get by that statement. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith does not stand in man's word that fails, for a man is not omnipotent, but in the word of an omnipotent God. Verse 6, how be we speak wisdom, those that are perfect, and so on. However, there is a wisdom of God that will be manifested when all else fails. That's right. That's right. When everything fails and goes down, you'll see. And people are saying, hey, shouldn't this have happened? Shouldn't that have happened? What's going on? It's already gone past. You didn't even know.
Amen.
See? Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, and so on. We reveal that wisdom of God which God has ordained, that we approve, and we will if we are ordained to be. In other words, you'll never approve what God is doing unless you're ordained to it. No way. No way. When this message gets down to the final wire, I doubt if there'll be hardly anybody believing it. Maybe there's going to be a whole lot more than that thing, but I know one thing, there'll be the teeniest handful of those that are changed, because the rapturing saints that are living here changed. They're going to be minimal. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, or they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's right, the human mind cannot get it, so it crucifies it. Same as Hebrews 6. Why do you think Brother Branham preached the judgment, the trial? Because what they're doing is a message. They're turning it down flat. They couldn't understand it. You think people understand serpent seed? Come on. You talk about the serpent being a beast. That's just an animal. What about the four beasts in the Bible? With the 24 elders. Magnificent creatures. The beast was so close to a human being, he was prettier than a human being. There wasn't a moment he couldn't have seduced. He was more human in qualities that we like than Adam was human in qualities. Let's face it. You think he didn't have a way with women that Adam didn't have? Come on, fat. He's a million times ahead of Adam. She was seduced and she liked it. You tell people that today and they visualize some great big hairy Clydesdale coming along. Well, have you ever seen a snake with hair on it? Come on, don't be ridiculous. He was a boa constrictor. God changed him from almost a human being to a boa constrictor. He's the one with the remnants of hips. He's the one that breeds in the mounting position. He's not like other snakes at all. Serpent. You think people want to believe the truth? No, they just take one, a serpent, you mean that, and they run screaming. You think they're going to investigate? You think they're going to look? No, they just scream. Preachers, Pentecostals especially, and stupid doctors. You talked about human cells and animal cells. They're related because animal was made first and we were made for animal. You talk about injecting the parathyroid cells into a woman whose parathyroids were cut out and she got better. Doctors reject it, yet it's a proven fact. Doctors reject everything where somebody could get better without millions of dollars, I suppose. What would it come to? Come to the place where everything's a farce, everything's a farce. The church is a farce, the doctors are a farce. They stink worse than the guy here. Why do you think plumbers organize? Do you think the plumber can do a better job on your sewer than you can do? No, he wants your money. So he pretends you might get gas with sewer. Gas. Ha! Gotta see some of the jobs I've seen by so-called plumbers. Money under the table.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a stinking mess, I tell you.
Amen.
Human mind can't grasp this. The human mind will crucify it. The human mind crucifies everything that's new. But this isn't new. This is the word of God being fulfilled and it crucified. So we can't have it. Can't have it. Yet the Bible teaches it. Never mind if the Bible teaches, just bypass it. We're God. And then Protestants say they're not Roman Catholic? Who are the first ones that said that they had the right to change things? And the Protestants are fighting the Catholics? Stupid, they should get together and have a love feast. I'm going to vote for that. Get it over with. Oh, sure they're doing it. Father, how stupid can you get? They eat ice cream, we eat ice cream, but because theirs is pink and ours is red, it makes a difference. Hogwash, same ice cream, eat it. They're going to get together, brother, sister. The buzzards get together, the eagles get together. Alright, now we go to Ephesians 1 again. That's that spirit of wisdom and revelation. This time we're going to read the first chapter, and we'll read the first few verses starting at, let's read number 8 first, then we'll go to the others. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Where any of the bounded tortoise and all wisdom and prudence. Now that's the thing we're talking about. So let's read the verses that couch it. Beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accept in the beloved. See, right there again, it shows you that this is where God says his wisdom is coming forth, and it must receive honor. How many people honor God for election? Most of them hate him for it.
Yes.
But they say, that can't be a wise decision. How could anybody be commended for a thing like that? They don't understand, see. Now, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, they like that. Where he is abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, they like that. That in the dispensation of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both are in heaven, which are on earth, even him. In whom also we receive an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that works all things according after he accomplishes his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, as I see this, I see foreknowledge, and election and predestination outlined here. And I see wisdom is election unto predestination. Now wherein he is abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Now that's those elect ones that he brought to birth. In whom also we have attained inheritance, having predestined according to his purpose, the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Now, he's talking about that wisdom there. Now let's just hold it and go to Romans 9 and 11. All right. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now it tells you right here that the purpose of God cannot stand apart from election. Now, it tells you here that we have been preheated. First of all, we were foreknown. He chose us in him, foreknown. Then we were predestinated to adoption. The means that were required to do it, those means were supplied. Then he is going to gather us according to what he has desired. Now he says here, he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now in other words, he could not abound without wisdom and prudence. And the wisdom and prudence in my understanding here is that this is election unto predestination. Now let's read with this, Romans 8. I read that ninth one. Now showing the purpose of God stands in election. You'll never change it. And that purpose of God is what we see outlined here in the book of Ephesians. No way you can change it. 28 and 31, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now listen, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What do we say then to these things? That God before us, who can be against it? Now it says over here in Ephesians, he chose us in him. He predestinated us, and he bound, and this is where he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And what is going to happen? The good purpose of him which he purposed is absolutely going to take place. So what you're seeing here is here the wisdom of God manifested. The God who predestinated a people to the resurrection, to the tree of life, who would never die but be changed, that God is here now revealing himself. This was his wisdom. It was his wisdom in the garden that Adam fell. It was his wisdom that Eve fell. It was his wisdom they couldn't get the tree at that time. Now in his wisdom, it's all manifest and brought right down here to this end when he stands as that one manifesting his wisdom. And the manifestation of his wisdom has started now in his revelation of himself and his attributes, which will culminate in a bride being raised from the dead and the present living members changed and him caught away. Now that's the one of wisdom. Man would never have said that. Well, listen, how in the world would God have ever done that in the first place?
Why would make God to have people that are going to fall? What would make God that he could stand back and let people suffer? As the guy said about Brother Branham, he said, the worst crook of the whole bunch is that William Branham. He said, you mean to tell me God will sit back like a fat old Buddha with his hands on his belly and look complacently while women are being cut up and their babies thrown to hogs and everything going through like that? And Brother Branham said, the thing is, he doesn't recognize the attributes of God. Now what you're seeing here is this God of wisdom, who would contain all this knowledge and ability, having run through the ages, is here now to finish it. And he's revealing his wisdom to the people. And the people say, who needs Elijah? Fat word born again. Come on, this fellow's as good as that fellow. Who knows this? Who knows the other thing? Oh, we're doing just fine. Why, look, what's good enough for my mammy is good enough for me. You see why Brother Branham hit organization, grandma and grandpa and all that stuff? They were turning down the wisdom of God standing. He couldn't stand it. I can stand up and tell it better than he can. 100 times better, because he didn't dare be that bold. I can be as bold as brass and care less. You mean to say that Brother Branham would stand up there and let the people know? He had to talk in riddles and mysteries and go forward and come back and go forward and come back. I don't have to talk in riddles and mysteries. Fact, we're over that nonsense. We're right here where it is. I can declare to you. See, what has transpired. What is going on here at this moment, see? Now this is a heart proposition. This is something getting way deep down in here. See, the spirit of wisdom, that one that planned all this, the fount of all knowledge, the source of all purpose. Now, notice the purpose in there, see, what he was going to do. Now, let's go to Colossians 2, 1 to 3. I wouldn't that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and those of Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts being covered, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Now that little verse in there about Father and Christ, leave it out, that's not in the Greek. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now it tells you right there. Now he said, you haven't seen my face, but he said, their hearts might be covered, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Yeah, see, well, hey, you know, I don't think we really need to know too much about God. I tell you what, there's a God out there and he loves us. And if we just love everybody, it's going to be so nice. Just be nice. Just be nice. Well, I ain't nice. I ain't Mr. Nice. I wish I were, but I'm not. Paul wasn't either. Listen, what is this guy Paul saying here? Be knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. We are coming to the superlative that Paul prayed for and couldn't have. They couldn't have it. There was only a few years of his manifestation. We've had 2,000 to see exactly the attributes of God and the intricate weavings and the way he was weaving his tapestry. Through hideous wars of unbelief and crime and vengeance, corruption that's reached its peak today. And God still stands back with the mystery of his glory. But it says you're getting in on the revelation of to a full assurance of that wisdom, the prudence of God. Oh, listen, what a revelation this age has had. The bride isn't even wearing it. See? Where's the time to think about it? To open the heart and mind to it, he said. Why? He said, you've had a great conflict. Why? You want to see my face. You want Paul to come here and say, Paul, listen, Paul, look, we agree with Peter. You say so many things that tear us to pieces. You say so many things we don't understand. We know it's the truth. What's it all about, Paul? Well, he said, if you could see my face and I could sit and talk with you. We're seeing it face to face in the Word and talking to him back and forth, revealing himself today, Brother Sister. to the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement. Who wants to acknowledge that a prophet stood here? Who wants to acknowledge that God stands here? Who wants to acknowledge there's a revelation? Who wants to acknowledge that this is the open door? This is what God said. This is part of the predestinated plan for a predestinated people to bring them to the place where God said, I want you, which is glorification. They said, put it one side. Then you tell me their bride, come on, smarten up. I don't want to make you mean. I want to make you perceptive. It's not mean to kill a snake. I'm not calling people snakes now. I'm talking about ideas. Okay? All right. Now, the mind of God is above alone. The mind of God alone is to be treasured, and because man shall not live by bread alone. He lives by the Word of God. Now listen, you put these verses of Colossians I read and Ephesians together, and we find 2 Corinthians 3:15 to 18. Now, weaving the Word of God back and forth, I've got every right to do it. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:15. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. In other words, when there's a movement of the Spirit toward moving the heart toward God. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And He's here today. But we all with open face, the veil's off the faces. Creeds and dogmas have been taken away for the first time in 2,000 years. The Word of God is an open revelation for the first time now since Paul. With open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, what God said, what God's opinion was, what God's estimation was, what's worthy in God's sight. And you know what's worthy in God's sight? We're going to get changed from what God's glory was, revelation to revelation to revelation. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, word, word. God's been doing it. Right. So there's going to be a bride stand right here. Changed in her members, all the glorified numbers round about her. You talk about a jubilee. Now that's in the Word. And it goes from glory to glory. It goes from revelation to revelation. This is the wisdom of God. 2,000 years of it, man has bypassed and said, what's it all about? What's it all about? What's it really all about? And then a man comes down, anointed by God, a prophet sent from God, the Holy Ghost descending by His Spirit, the Word of God descending by that Spirit that's on His Spirit. He veiled with the Word of Almighty God. And that Word veiled in him comes forth and brings forth the Word of God. And people say, well, that ain't the way the Pope taught it. They're like a fella out there in Newfoundland. He's changing a bit. One day his son, to believe this message, said, Dad, look at it, he said. Here's what the Word of God says. Hey, never mind the Bible, he said. He got me a little black book. He's Pentecost. He talks in tongues. Don't try to hem him in. He'll jump over the pew and jump over you too. He's going to dance and fling. Hallelujah. But never mind the Bible. I got me a book. I hope it's the right book on Judgment Day. Ephesians 4. I'm not judging. He's already judged himself. But he better change before it's too late. Ephesians 4, 17 to 23. This I say therefore and testify on the Lord, ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of mind. That's after the Holy Spirit comes and sets the church in order like he's done today. You want to go back? Go back to Pentecost? I told you Wednesday night, I said, that's such a grand funeral. We're going to have dinner afterward, naturally. Pentecostal, well, he's a man that believes his message sat there. And talking about that little funny picture, you know, supposed to be like that one with a pillar, with the clouds, you know, 26 miles across, 30 miles high, you know, taking over somebody's church. He asked me a question, what do you, I said, I snap people, I shouldn't, but, ah, fap, who cares? You get to the place where what's the difference, ain't gonna listen anyway. So I said, what are you, back in Pentecost somewhere? What do you want that junk? Well, he said, you know, it could encourage somebody. If you don't know what it is, where it come from, where it's going, how do you encourage? Are we idiots? Merciful God, if you want a good feeling, let me tell you how to get it. I will take you down to a laboratory in one of the bigger hospitals, university centers of science. And I'll get them to drill your brains and collect little anodes and cathodes, or God knows what they are, and drill into your brain, and you can have any thrill that you want. It won't cost you anything. If you feel like jigging, you get a jig. If you like smiling, you'll smile all day long. And I'm going to say one thing too that you might not like. If you're a sex monster and that's all you want, you can get a sex thrill day and night. Just get the right things in your mind hooked up. What do you want if you don't know where you're going? Just some kind of feeling? Look, I'm not good at directions. Many a time, I knew I was going north. I was going east, west, or south, but I wasn't going north. You follow what I'm talking about? Your minds had better be under control with this message. This is what tells the truth, not something else. Hammond, just sit down. Walk not as Gentiles walk, the vanity of the mind. Puffed up. You got your own thoughts. Having the understanding darkened. Now listen. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of heart. Now this tells you you're not born again if you're off the Word.
Why do people talk about a life? The evidence isn't a life. You're talking about a life. What is the evidence of that life? Believe in the Word. Man come along and say, hallelujah, I'm born again, then deny the Word of God. Like Brother Branham said. Who being past feeling, given the South Road of Assistance to work on the cleanness with greenness. But you have not so learned of Christ as though you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Hold it. When did they see Jesus and hear Him? When they saw Paul. That didn't make Him Jesus. When He veiled that Word and that Word was coming from Him, He was God to that people, period. That you put our former behavior of the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts or pleasure, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 1 Corinthians 13. This is what tells the truth, not something else. Having is it now. Walk not as Gentiles walk, the vanity of the mind. Puffed up. You got your own thoughts. Having the understanding darkened. Now listen. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now this tells you you're not born again if you're off the Word. Why do people talk about a life? The evidence isn't a life. You're talking about a life. What is the evidence of that life? Believe in the Word. Man come along and say, hallelujah, I'm born again, then deny the Word of God. Like Brother Branham said. Right. Who being past feeling, given the South Road of Lasciviousness to work on things with greenness. But you have not so learned of Christ, as so you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Hold it. When did they see Jesus and hear Him? When they saw Paul. That didn't make Him Jesus. Amen. When He veiled that Word, and that Word was coming from Him, He was God to that people, period. That you put our former behavior of the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts or pleasures, and be renewed in the spirit in your mind. 1 Corinthians 13. Reading from 9. We know in part and prophesy in part. Now, Paul could only go part way. The seals were missing. John could only go part way. Thunders were missing. Paul could only say certain things. He couldn't say certain other things. He could only hope and pray for things. Well, he himself said, I hope to be in a certain place. We'll talk about that a little later if we get to it. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part should be done away, when I was a child, spoke as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, became a man and put away childish things. He's telling you what's going to happen. You'll be growing up. You'll handle things. We'll talk about that later too. Another message. You're going to be different. Now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I'll know as I know. And when you come to that glory, you will be changed without death. That can't happen to only a very few people. But it's happening now. You say, well, you be there, Brother Bill. I don't know. Nobody knows. We're pressing into it. And we know we're part of it. You mean to tell me Christ becomes revealed, increasingly His Word becomes increasingly revealed, and you know that you're knowing more about this Word you know last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. You know every year you're growing up and growing up and growing up. You're approaching that image more and more. I don't know and you don't know if you're going to be here, but somebody's going to be here that's going through those steps. Face to face. Yes, sir. Change to that glory. Now, in Ephesians 1:17, that Spirit. It is the hour of the full revelation of God, even as God walked and talked with Abraham and revealed Himself and His plans before Sodom, which was deliverance before destruction. The righteous will not be destroyed with the wicked. As Malachi says, behold, the day cometh shall burn as an oven, all the wicked shall, you know, perish. But unto you that believe my name, or listen to me, and hear my name, the Son of righteousness will rise, healing His wings, you'll tread down the wicked, they'll be cast in the soles of your feet. Same thing. It is indeed Revelation 10, 1 and 7 combined. That is God, the Logos, and the prophet. For the mystery of God Himself is finished in the Gentile age for this hour when the Logos comes down and speaks through a prophet. Absolutely the thing is wound up and time runs up for the Gentiles. You can't deny it because the Bible says so. The Spirit of wisdom is now in the church revealing the hour of the bride and revealing the deep secrets of God. And He tells her, this is that hour that I am here. To get you away from destruction, to present you faultless before my presence and to change you. Now, and who is doing it? The Father of glory. God clothed in His Word, veiled and revealing Himself through the veil. That's absolutely right. He revealing Himself through the veil. He that Himself is showing Himself to those that they might understand the Word. And he that sees Him who is veiled in that Word, in other words, sees that Word brought to them, and sees the mystery of God, sees what God is doing, that one is actually seeing God revealed. I quoted that out of Samuel the other day. Now, man by wisdom has never known God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 21 tells you that categorically. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It tells you that. But it is the wisdom of God that allows God to make Himself known to man. But it says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, why is it the foolishness of God? It wasn't foolishness. And men call it foolishness. That's what it's all about. They'll even say, hey, if this man is predestined, why is there preaching? That's God's business. And what He is doing. It's the same thing. If God saves a man, who needs Elijah? God says we need Elijah at this hour. So therefore we believe it. You see there, how can a man say he's a Christian, full of the Holy Ghost, and turn down the Word? I'll tell you why. He hasn't got the Holy Ghost, and the Word is foolishness to him. So when the Word is preached in truth, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. We've heard that Elijah stuff, Elijah garments, but there's got to be a real one sometime. Listen, for years they preached a phony virgin birth. When men got sexually oriented in the temple, they made it possible that the women could come in at night and the men would pretend there was nobody in the temple. They had a trap door, they'd come up and abuse the women sexually. Then the women got pregnant, had babies. They said, oh, that was by Thor, that was by Odin, that was by Zeus, and that was by this and that. And they, oh, and right off the bat then, virgin birth was a bunch of junk. But there had to be a true virgin birth sometime.
Amen.
Or let's go home, forget it. If He wasn't virgin born, what's He going to do for us?
Amen.
Forget it.
Right.
He ain't going to do nothing for us. We should have just eaten, drunk, and been married. Who cares? Even that's not too good because that gets stale. Yeah, even the finer, grosser pleasures get stale. Who knows which way to go? Finally, up becomes down, and in becomes out. It's a complete mess. Here's the answer. Wisdom of God. Wisdom of God. Man full of the Holy Ghost say, hey, that's right. Hey, that's right. Hey. Well, I never saw that. Wonderful. The other guy not full of the Holy Ghost, he's got his creeds and dogmas. He's veiled to it. Boy, he said, I can't see that naturally. Guy said to Brother Brandon, well, Brother Brandon said, I wouldn't believe in a miracle. He said, if I saw you raise the dead. He said, naturally, you're not a believer. This is for believers. You're an unbeliever. You follow me? Okay. Now listen. It's the wisdom of God that allows God to make Himself known to man. He does it by preaching. Now hold it. You're going to see Him face to face, glory to glory, image to image, and it ends it, right? How? By preaching. No way else. Now, Brother Branham said, God said to Brother Branham, that John the Baptist foreran the first coming, your message will forerun second. You cannot get by preaching. That's all that it meant. William Branham, I've ordained you a prophet to preach. That's why he could say, and weave back and forth, I never said I was a prophet, you said it was. I'm a preacher. Preacher means prophet. There's your answer right there. Preaching. He wasn't outside the Scripture. He was in the Scripture. But he fooled a whole lot of people who weren't in the Scripture and thought they were. He proved they were outside the Scripture. Did they come back in? I hope they will. I don't know. That's the kingdom of God. Now is Christ present amongst us to raise the dead by placing Himself at the head of the church. So the message of the hour, the fullness of the Godhead in the Word, is here and shows us that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as in Hebrews 13 and 8, proving Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and Deuteronomy 18, 15, which you know, I must send Elijah, and that prophet will prove who he is, and you must hear him. The whole evangelical world is trying to get into the resurrection and rapture through a six-age message that carries over from Wesley. It won't work. Okay? It is now Acts 3:19b.
a revival from the presence of the Lord, and then the ministry restoration of God's Word. It is Revelation 10:1-7, and Revelation 22:8 for the opening of the seal and the dividing of the people from the righteous and the unrighteous. The wisdom of God declared today. It says Elijah must come and restore the Word. That means the Logos is here, and it must be here, or 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17 cannot take place, because the Lord Himself must descend from the shout with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ must rise first. The entire revelation, God's wisdom is amongst us. And I hope you get it. His wisdom here amongst us is God finishing His foreknown plan for redemption by revealing it Himself and personally calling and predestinating it in the flesh. Now, I want to read you something that Brother Branham said. Now, hand it through the age. This is a quote now. See, so I can't take the full continuity. See that perfect continuity of the Scripture? Here we live in it. The mysteries even of the baptism in the name of Lord Jesus, and away from the oneness idea, and these other things, how the Holy Spirit had moved in and showed it perfectly, and the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, the token, everything, and placed it, and how He placed every form and everything just exactly right before our eyes. And it's not in a corner, it's world known. Now listen, Jesus, the Son of God, revealing Himself by the Scripture, making that Scripture that has been predestinated to this day, like it was to that day and other days, live. Now that's what He said. The Scripture has been predestinated for every hour, and in the hour of its predestination it lives. Now I ask you a question, how does it live? By coming to pass. But what is the use for a people? And the people of this hour have been from revelation to revelation, from glory to glory, God's own assessment and revelation and approval on God's own work. So God is here today approving of His work, which is us, which will come forth in His image. That word today, predestinated, is living today. And we are that living word. And He says to believe it is the evidence of the Holy Spirit righteousness, which means you are righteous with God's righteousness on the ground that you believe this message. You are a part of it, because if you weren't, you couldn't believe it. You'd say, no, sir, it's not for this hour. You couldn't get it. All right. Now listen. People just don't like God's way of doing things. They try to stereotype Him. It won't work. One. But He always is in that Word. That's where God always is. Living in revealed Word. Not Word of man's ideas and understanding, where men take the Bible and don't know what it says, and they come to a conclusion or compare what different men say or different translations. Say, well, it looks the best like it looks here. There comes a day, which is our day, when a man stands and says, this is it. Number two, the wisdom. God Himself doing and proving and manifesting His eternal purpose, fulfilling His plan or word, and letting the church in on the secret. That's the wisdom of God. What God has always been doing, what He's doing now. He lets us in on the secret and says, look, I am here, and this is what's going on. And He reveals Himself. See? All right. Now that's the category of wisdom. Okay. What I'm going to do, in spite of the fact that I feel able to preach for another hour, I'm going to be nice to you, which is very embarrassing to me. I'm not a nice guy. I'll let you go, and I'm going to recap Sunday. I'm going to break this down and recap. Now, you heard what I've been saying here, and I equated wisdom to what God Himself ordained within Himself for His true purpose. And the purpose of God stands in election. No way would it ever come forth. Now the great elector, the foreknower that started it and revealed Himself as that one back in the garden, revealed Himself to Noah, revealed Himself to Moses, revealed Himself through Jesus, revealed Himself to Paul, revealed Himself today, that same one has only one purpose, one objective. And that is, He wants this earth covered with sons of God
who are in obedience to Him through the Holy Spirit. Now look, He's right here today to finish it off, and He is showing forth the wisdom of the ages and has proved it. And brother, sister, I don't care how long you got to sit, or how long you got to walk, or how long you got to wait. There is a bride out here somewhere if we're not that bride.
Amen.
You better believe it. And she is going to make that resurrection.
Amen.
And she is going to stand right here, a few of them, and they are going to be changed because He is here to do it. And the God of wisdom, see, that one is here who did this whole thing, stands for the whole thing. And now He says, I'm revealing myself. Now we haven't even got to another section, because the next section says the knowledge of Him. And this is the personal knowledge of God Himself that comes to the church. See, what you're not dealing with now premises. You're not dealing with doctrines. You're not dealing with principles, though they're still there. You're dealing with a person. I'm the one that did it. Remember, Brother Branscreen said, I'm the one that did it. See, he's talking here. I'm the one that did it. Now, He's standing here today. I'm the one that did it, and I'm doing it. You see? Now, we're talking about Him. See? Now, I hope you're getting to understand. It's going to take repetition and deep thinking to get to follow me here. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I never had my notes, I'd no more stand up here and nothing. No way. I got books strung around the place by the hour after hour. As I'm looking into these things to dig down, to see where one follow goes, one thought goes, something else. And I've done the best I can do for this morning. And I hope you caught some thoughts. I know it's kind of rough, but we'll go over it again. And I intend to go over and over again until this becomes a part of our very minds and our very thinking. That there's no doubt, say, whether we're it or not, He stands here and there's a bride. That's what I want amongst us today, brother, sister. And I want us to know what's following up. Because look, it isn't going to hurt us. It isn't going to hurt us. I say this with all sincerity. If we're wrong, we're still the closest to being right. You say that doesn't count? Don't you kid me. On Judgment Day, it's going to count an awful lot. Because if we miss this, we'll be in the second resurrection and judgment. And how we treat this, brother, sister. And it's got to be a God. I tell you, those people that made God, made William Branham God, I agree with Brother Branham. I hadn't known he said it when I approached him on the subject years ago. I said, Brother Branham, on Judgment Day, I believe it's going to be easier on the people that made you God, because at least they saw something, on though and then on those who saw nothing. How blind is a man that can see nothing? How blind can a man get? The God of this world blinded their eyes. And you know what the tragedy is? And they say, we see! And Christ answers back. And because you say you see, your sin remaineth. Where's the atonement? Serious business, brother, sister. But I hope that you enjoy the services. I don't know. It's up to you. If you don't enjoy them, let me know. And I'll find you somebody that you can work with. Enjoy services. I don't know. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know myself what a person could enjoy once you get in this message here. Of course, you can enjoy somebody preaching a whole lot better than mine. I don't say that. But I could never believe for 1 minute that there's anything that I could listen to, anything I'd want to listen to, outside of this message. And getting into the Word here, because, brother, sister, it's part of the end time, and I believe we're part of that. Lord bless you. Let's rise. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank You again for mercy and grace, Lord, which is what we are bound to thank You for all the time, even in those moments when sometimes we feel we're far from mercy and grace, or mercy and grace are far from us. Or we're a little prone to go by feelings, and we shouldn't be, but we know this one thing. The prophet said that You are here in mercy, revealing Yourself to the church. And I'm so glad, Lord, it's in mercy, that it can be done in mercy. It makes me feel so good to know the atonement, the high priesthood, is perfect. It's absolutely tremendous. There's nothing in the way or out of the way. It's just marvelous. And to know, Lord, that You're showing us these things, and a lot of it we dig for, and a lot of it kind of goes over our head, Lord, but some of us trickling down inside, and we're getting all the more sure that we have seen Him revealed to us, and we see Him in that Word, and we're going from glory to glory. We know that. We know that to be a fact, for as
Luther outshone the Catholics and Wesley, Lutherans and Pentecost, the Wesleyans. So this message must absolutely pick up the loose ends and come forth for the full presentation. Lord bless each one. I pray, my God, that not one shall leave here hungry in the sense of not having found some help. Merciful God, hear our prayer and fill these people's minds and hearts, Lord, with the word, that word of faith, Lord, where they can rest assured and know that they're going onward and upward. It's not a matter of a slogan anymore, like people have slogans. It's not that. It's not a catchy phrase, Lord. It's reality. It's truth, O God, and we're standing in it. So, our Father, we commend ourselves unto you in the word of your grace. And believe, Lord, that you will lead us until we are matured and until, Lord, there will be the resurrection and we are part of it somehow, somewhere. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing, We'll Walk in the Light, because that's a good little song.
We'll walk in the light, but the beauty is all right.
Walk
where the dew drops of mercy are bright. And all around us, by day and by night, Jesus, the light of the world.
You know, Jesus made a very pertinent statement about that. He said the reason people don't want to come to the light is because their deeds are evil. You make a statement like that concerning the fact of Jesus' presence, they'll skewer you for that. They'll barbecue you. I don't care how nice a person is. He'll see red unless he's got 99% more than the average guy ever had as a Christian. Because he'll let you know plump right now, I know God, and don't you tell me I don't know God, and don't you tell me I don't know one word or another word. But you know the end time, the Bible said they will not know righteousness from wickedness. I didn't write the Bible, I just preach it. I stand amazed as much as the most fundamentalist when it comes to the Word. I'll be honest with you. I never dreamed these things from the Bible. But they're in the Bible. He said, we know who served God and who didn't. The end time. He said, we turn back to God. You know, people simply don't believe in that, like the Shaman. They don't understand. Well, I know we can't help that. I know that they can't either in a certain way. But there is a way that they can acknowledge. You see, that's where the condemnation comes. See, the men love darkness rather than light when the light struck. See, that's what's wrong with the Roman Catholic Church. That's what's wrong with the Lutherans, the Wesleyans, Pentecost. That's what'll be wrong with us. If there was another light to strike, let me tell you flat, we'll be in the same boat the Pentecostals. You know what? We turn it down flat. Thank God there's no more light. I'm banking on that. Okay, let's go. Take the name of Jesus with you.